welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I am Jordan Chambly. As always, I am joined by my co-host, Cedra Sarton. How are you today, Cedra?
I'm good. I think, you know, I think the listeners are fairly aware that I have sinus problems sometimes. And so sometimes I'll start, you know, my voice will start getting deeper. And that's where we're headed. So I'm got my cough drops and everything over here.
Yeah, just as a heads up for any of you listening, that this is not exactly how she always sounds.
I'm not a guest. Yeah. We've not brought another man into the studio today. Right. This time it is just me and Jordan.
Right.
And I'm hanging on and I'm doing good. And, you know, I should be used to it by now.
Oh, I sympathize because I am, especially this time of year, anytime there's like yard work being done, like if I don't have my seasonal allergy medications going, preemptively, then I am it's bad the rest of the day.
And then on my street, most of the like there's so many people that get their yard done by some sort of company.
Yeah.
So and it tends to be on the same day.
Yeah.
So I'll go down my street and on both sides it's just blocked off and with like it's always the same big white pickup.
Uh-huh.
With a trailer and with a lawnmower on the back of it. And I'll go down my street and it'll just be lined with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is going to be a bad day.
Hold your breath till you get
this
inside.
This is going to be a bad day, yeah. And like I pull up and then I'm like, I got all my stuff and I'm like, I throw the door open and jump out, slam it shut and run.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to avoid it, but I'm living.
Yeah.
It's not so bad, and right now I can breathe.
If this is all we have to complain about, we're doing pretty good.
I know. Of all the things, when I'm complaining about it, I'm thinking about people who are going through way worse
stuff.
Things, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to, we're going to move on.
Lord, give me perspective. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of perspective, we're talking about an interesting topic today.
Yeah.
When you brought it up, I thought, hey, this is something I feel like it's kind of at the core of everything we always talk about, but it's good to sometimes really hone in and focus on the foundational stuff.
Technically, you came up with a topic, though.
Well, technically, yeah, because this is going to be off of a blog that I wrote recently.
Yeah. And then I went in, I'm like, I like that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
So if you want to read this blog or any of the other blogs that we produce here at AFA, you can go to afa.net/thestand.
Yep. And if you enjoy listening,
yes,
rather than like going down the road and stuff, you know, you can't always stop and read something in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
There is a great show that is podcasted. So if you if you listen to our podcast, you can listen to The Stand Radio, which is hosted by Jordan's father,
my dad,
Mr. Jeff Chambly himself, with the golden voice.
Exactly, yeah.
And I almost sound like him at the moment.
Right.
I'm starting to go that way. But no, for real, like he just takes all these interesting and important stories that they get from The Stand print magazine and blog.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns it into a radio program so people can stay informed always about the things going on.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know how much people are just aware of how much material listening or reading or otherwise AFA is putting out.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a crazy amount. I mean, you talk about the radio. Everybody kind of knows the radio side where I meet people. They're like, oh, do you still work at AFR? I'm like, well, yes. I mean, technically not AFR specifically, more AFA.
We do have this 30-minute every Saturday. So.
And but people will always go to AFR is the thing that they know about. And I would just want to be like, look, there's a whole lot more going on.
Oh, yes.
There's
constant.
A lot of stuff happening. There's The Stand, of course, which we've talked about. There's the print magazine that we do. And that's the department that I work in more specifically.
Mm-hmm.
All my time is kind of dedicated to that, doing some articles for the print magazine, doing blogs at afa.net/The Stand. You can read all of those blogs there. Then we have a whole video production team, like on top of everything else.
Yes, and they are putting out tons of content.
Yeah.
And if you want to find some of this, like if you would like to see some of the stuff that is being done, you can go to afa.net, and at the top there are links to all the different departments.
Yeah.
If you click on the Resource Center, there are so many things. There are DVDs, there are books, there's all kinds of content.
Yeah.
There is coffee.
There's coffee.
Yeah, if you're going to drink coffee anyway, and you're like, man, I would really like for this coffee to benefit. Like, if I'm going to buy it and drink it, I would like for that money to go somewhere. If you're a supporter of AFA and you're like, hey, that's a great way to support AFA.
Yeah.
is to just get my coffee from them.
Exactly.
I mean, there's tons of options there if mm-hmm. you want to go check that out. Mm-hmm. And so AFA.net.
Yeah, AFA.net, that is the hub for all things AFA. Just go check it out and spend an hour browsing, you know, all of the offerings there. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, again, we are specifically focusing on it's a topic that I wrote about not too long ago in a blog called The Gospel Dignifies the Undignified.
Yeah.
This kind of came to me on a Sunday morning. I have to a confession to make. A lot of times, these ideas that become blogs or articles or whatever start from something that I hear in a sermon or otherwise at church.
At least we know, at least you can say that you are for sure listening to the pastor.
I am, yeah, I am. Or at least when I get an idea, then I'm like, okay, I tune out for a second just to jot that idea down and send it to myself.
If he ever talks to you and he's like, Jordan, were you even listening? You go, do you want the article based off this sermon?
Right, and hopefully,
there will be one.
They'll read that and be like, oh, you know, that is in line with what I was saying, and I didn't misunderstand or whatever. But either way, this is something that my ears kind of pricked up when I heard someone say this. I don't know if it was my pastor specifically or somebody praying in the congregation, but the idea of the gospel dignifying the undignified, and that really stuck out to me quite powerfully. I mean, a lot of times we think about the gospel as this the good news of salvation. Mm-hmm. We have faith in Jesus, and we have salvation. We have eternal life, but there is sort of that reality behind it that it's not only that you are saved from the punishment for your sin, and it's not only that you have this expectation of eternal life in the presence of God, as infinitely wonderful as those things are, it goes even beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And you are made sons and daughters of God. You are made spiritual siblings of Jesus Christ himself, co-heirs mm-hmm. with him. You are brought into the royal family. And that's crazy because, I mean, it would be enough, right? It would be more than enough to be just, you know, on par with the angels, right? I mean, they seem to have a really good thing going for them. They're in this perfect existence, sinless, in perfect harmony with God. They're carrying out his commands. They have some sort of relationship there that we're not really privy to.
Mm-hmm.
But that seems really good, right? And I think a lot of Christians even tend to miss that point of we go even beyond that. When we become Christians, when we put our faith in Jesus, we go beyond just servants in the household of God who he does love, but they're just, you know, we're just there to serve him and worship him and kind of live in, you know, perpetual harmony and for all of eternity. It goes beyond that too. No, we're members of the family now.
Mm-hmm.
And letting that reality sink in and meditating on that, I think, is a very, very good thing for Christians to do on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, we're going to get real.
Yeah.
So reading an article that you wrote, I critiqued it very harshly. No.
Yes.
I thought it was very well done. And also, I mean, one thing I did, even just from reading the first part of it, I found myself standing outside one evening, the sun had gone down, the stars were out, and I'm just staring at the sky. And it's been a long time since I've done something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And living in a more city area, it's a little harder to see them as well as you could. But we're still, like, in the country enough that I can see them.
You're on the fringes.
Yeah. And I used to stand out there and just look at the sky sometimes and just look at the stars and marvel. And it's been a long time since I've done that. I've just been, you know, you get so busy, like a lot of us do. And I was just doing that. And I started, if you really start thinking about it, you're like, the God who formed all of this.
Yeah.
And you're looking and you're seeing how the things of nature is growing in perfect harmony. Mm. And if one thing was a little different, it wouldn't be able to grow and form.
Right.
And it's like the God who formed all that just perfectly, who created me, he chose to create me.
Yeah.
And he chose to love me.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to. He doesn't need me.
Right.
There's some Christians who get it in their head that God needs them. God does not need you. But he chooses to use you. And that's kind of like, I don't know. It was, you used the word humbling in this article. I think you could have probably put that word in there about 11 billion more times because that is, that is the one word flashing in my mind as I'm standing there. And that's just kind of like how I know there's a lot more to the article, but like just kind of in that moment, that's what I was feeling.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about looking up at the sky, and a lot of times, I mean, I used to do this a lot with my dad. My dad is a big astronomy, you know, buff. He loves looking through telescopes. He loves, you know, kind of studying the stars. He knows where all the constellations are. And beyond that, he knows like nebulas and clusters and things like that, and galaxies, where to find
smarter
those.
Than me.
I mean, he reads his and he knows his stuff. One of the things you just reminded me of was a little while ago, not that long ago, actually, we had two significant astronomical happenings. We had the total solar eclipse. I can't remember exactly when that happened, but it was earlier this year. And then not too long after that.
You think I would know better, because I actually
made
a trip up to Jonesboro to be so I could be in the path of totality.
Yeah.
I went with a friend of mine and her family and so we stood in a Chick-fil-A parking lot.
Yeah.
But it worked out. We were able to sit there and see
That's
it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And she's there with her little boy, and he is two, very, very little. And he's just like, what's up?
Yeah,
whatever.
He's like, what is this? Yeah.
We're
okay, it just
like,
gets dark and then gets light again.
Yeah.
But we're just, we know the kind of, this is fairly significant. And then not too long after that, there were probably an even crazier thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Northern Lights in Mississippi, of all places.
And I didn't get to see them.
You didn't get so I hate that for you, because it was probably one of the coolest, most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life.
I saw so many photos, but I didn't see them.
It was amazing. But like, I think in those moments, for the Christian specifically, those are kind of like reminders that there is something higher up than us. Like, and not just like literally, even though that's obviously the truth, but there's something that is raised above the cares and the worries of everyday life. The things that we talk about with our friends, the things that stress us out, the stuff that's even going on in the world, even the wicked stuff. Like, there is a reality that is, or truths that are higher up, unaffected by these things, that we can even look up into the sky and see signs of, that there is a God, like you were saying, who created all these amazing, powerful, moving things, that we are called into a relationship with. And that's humbling, but also that is very much uplifting. That's sort of like humbling and uplifting at the same time. It goes beyond, we're saved by this God, and we're able to have a relationship with him, but the relationship is a father to child relationship. And that really should affect us in our everyday life in a big way, more than it does, I think, most of the time. But I think also when it comes to the idea of dignity versus undignity, that's a key thing, I think, in today's world that people miss. We are so quick to undignify people in our culture, where giving dignity or taking it away is almost like a weapon. And I think that's becoming more and more of a problem, because words are very cheap and we are being more and more polarized every day to a really scary extent. And when it comes to viewing another human being who is different from you or disagrees with you, no matter what that is, and then you take the dignity away from them in your own mind that God gave to them just by being his creation, that's a very slippery slope into some very wicked thoughts.
Yeah.
Wicked thoughts. And so we need to be wary of that not only does the gospel in a very mind-boggling way dignify us, but that should also overflow out of our own lives into giving others dignity.
There's a missing ingredient sometimes, and I think that's even for believers, and that is loving kindness. And when it comes to, we see someone, like you said, in a different situation, and we seem to forget that just a small shift in our circumstance, much like the nature you see out there, just a small shift in the circumstance could mean this plant doesn't grow.
Yeah.
It could mean this animal can't, like, will die out and go extinct. In our situation, like, one slight shift in the timeline of my life could have changed you know, everything for my situation.
Right.
Instead of sitting here in front of you, I could be living on the streets. Mm. I could be someone of a hateful atheist mindset where I despise people like you. I mean, like, just one little shift.
Right.
And that's the kind of the thought process that I think we should all have when you see someone. If you see a person and you're like, I can't believe they believe this way, or they got themselves in that situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you are more than blessed.
Mm-hmm.
You should look at them and be thankful for what you have,
mm-hmm.
but then also think, how can I help them?
Yeah. Yeah.
And also when it comes to the people who are simply of a different mindset.
Yeah, yeah.
you can't control them. You can't control their beliefs. Mm-hmm. You can't control what they say or do. But you can control yourself and how you react to it.
Yeah. And I think, too, if you look throughout history, almost like a side note, this has been weaponized by very evil people throughout history who come into power. I can think of, you know, Hitler, or you name any dictator, really.
Mm-hmm.
The Nero even did this for Christians, where if you can dehumanize someone,
mm-hmm.
you can, you know, use that to get power. I think we need to be wary that throughout history that has been something that has happened, and we're not immune to that in our country, that can be used to manipulate us and change our minds about things in a very ungodly way. But I think the antidote to that is to follow the example of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at one of the things that scandalized the Jews in Jesus's time, the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that time, they saw him spending time with people who were on the fringes of society, who were the outcasts. I'm talking about lepers. I'm talking about tax collectors and prostitutes and any number of unclean people, ceremoniously unclean people. Who were living outside of what they considered to be the blessing of the Lord. That's where Jesus actively ministered and expressed some of the most profound kindness of his earthly ministry, and that's what scandalized them. And imagine,
those are the ones that needed the kindness the most.
Exactly, and that's he even said as much. He said that the well don't need a physician; it's the sick who needs a physician.
Exactly,
and that's why he went to them. And then you follow the example of the apostles and the disciples. First of all, before the crucifixion, Jesus sent the disciples out two by two to do that very thing, to spread the news of the coming of the kingdom of God, and to follow his example in ministering to the poor and the people who were outcast. And then if you look after the ascension, after Jesus gives the Great Commission, the apostles go out, the church starts to spread, and the church does have this reputation of being a group of people who are ready to lend a hand to those who are in need, to lend a hand to the ones who are the outcasts of society, who are marginalized and oppressed. That was the reputation of Christians for a very, very long time. And that's not something we need to lose or ignore in today's church, in American church, in this modern situation that we're in. We need to be treating all people with that dignity. Obviously, not in a way that would compromise any of our, you know, beliefs. We don't need to be doing that. But kindness and truthfulness can go hand in hand in a very good way.
Again, Jesus reached out to the sinners, not to promote and the way they lived as okay.
Yeah.
He reached out to change them.
Yeah.
You know, he sees someone who's in the pit, who's in the mire, and he reaches in and pulls them out.
Right.
He doesn't climb in there with them.
Right.
So that's just a little note. Mm. And a lot of people today, even people in churches, but a lot of people even out of church that are not in church, and I'm like, if you're not a Christian, then why?
Yeah.
It's a whole other thing there. They use the fact that Jesus did dine with the sinners and spent time with them as a way to condone their lifestyles and things that they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's not how it was.
Yeah, that's not how it was. There was very much of a loving and gracious attitude that he had towards these people. And he was right there with them. He was ministering to them. I would imagine that he would give them food, give them shelter if they needed some. I mean, he healed lepers and beggars. And so there was an outpouring of grace and kindness and love that no one could have looked at and mistaken for meanness.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever blamed Jesus for being mean to people who society didn't like. There was always, why are you so kind to them? And I think that we need to remember that we don't need to be mistaken for being mean to someone. It needs to be unmistakably loving and kind to them, but at the same time in a way that draws them towards the gospel and says, look, this is the God that I serve, and he loves you, and he wants you to come to him. And that giving of dignity, I think, is very powerful for people, especially for people who don't think that they have any. And I think that that's one of the problems with the world right now, why you have so many people who are in the mess that they're in right now, is because they've been told, you've got no dignity. You know, you might as well just be an animal. You're worthless. We don't want you. Just go off and do whatever you will.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people who, I mean, I know that you see people who are begging for money.
Yeah.
Mm. And the world has you so, my thought sometimes is they probably don't really need that money.
Yeah. We have that cynicism.
Exactly.
Where it's like, well, yeah, I understand that. Yeah, I understand that.
And I've even thought that before, and I'm thinking, okay, I can't, I'm not super rich, so I can't stop and give a ton of money to everybody I see on the street.
Yeah.
I wish I could.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when I have stopped and I've given a little something to somebody.
Yeah.
And they've been super thankful. And then someone else is like, why'd you give that to them? They're going to use it for this. They're going to use it for that. Mm-hmm. They might not even need that money. They're just begging to get money from people so they don't have to work. And I've heard people say that. And I'm like, maybe.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll never know.
Yeah, exactly.
But maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this person really is desperate and hungry, and they got a family and they didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And they're lowering themselves as far as they can by standing on the side of the road and begging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, I mean, they're just, don't let the cynicism keep you from having that lovingness in your heart and taking time to help people.
Yeah, there's no end to voices in our world right now that want to make it so that Christians don't do the Christian thing.
Exactly.
I think that is a ploy of the enemy to put lies out in our society that we believe because it makes us comfortable or feel justified in the way we want to be. What ends up happening is the power is taken out of the gospel because it's not accompanied by a life that's lived consistently with it. And that's preaching to myself because I am that person.
Mm-hmm.
I have those feelings of, oh, man, well, it would be really awkward to talk to that person right now.
Yeah.
And that's just my whole personality is like, man, it would be really awkward right now. I don't have time. I'm with people, whatever the case may be. At some point you got to be like, well, if I say these things and I truly believe them, then wouldn't the natural thing be that I live this way?
Mm-hmm.
And if we just never live that way and we never, you know, act dignified, act as if we have been dignified by the gospel, but then extend beyond that and actively dignify people who are who feel as if they are without worth, feel as if no one could ever love them, then what good is, I mean, it's sort of like what James says is faith without works is dead. Doesn't mean that there isn't faith. It just means that it's not doing anything in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to do that. I mean,
no.
If we're honest, we that should be something that we are actively trying not to do.
And if you're sitting there and you're listening and you're thinking, man, I don't think I've done anything with my faith in a long time. I just kind of stay in my lane.
Yeah.
And I know it gets real easy to do that.
Oh yeah,
I've done it regularly
yeah.
throughout my life, where I will, you know, I sometimes act like it's an effort for me to get up and go to church sometimes even. And then doesn't that make you like disappointed in yourself when you think about it?
Right.
And I know you probably like on Sunday morning you're wrangling three kids.
Yes.
And just once you've poured yourself into like your family and your friends and your job, and you just kind of forgotten everything else. You've forgotten all the other people in the world.
Yeah.
It's good that you pour yourself into your family. I'm not saying otherwise.
First things first, definitely.
First things first. Your family comes first. But don't let yourself get so like wrapped up in yourself and what's going on with you that you don't see the people around you.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying that because I do it all the time. Yeah. I walk through gas stations and I don't even look up half the time. I've got one goal. My Dunkin' coffee and get out.
Yeah,
and but I'm like, if I looked around, who might I have seen that needed, you know, to hear an encouraging word, you know?
And I do think our society has trained us to be this way, this kind of antisocial mentality where don't talk to people, they won't talk to you. And part of that is like, okay, I understand, and I don't think it's entirely a bad thing, but I think it is a bad thing if it turns you into the kind of Christian who doesn't outwardly live out the Christian walk, which takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of applying the truth to yourself and sharing scripture with yourself. And that brings us all the way back to the very beginning here. Well, guys, that'll kind of bring us to the end of this conversation. Again, if you want to see everything AFA has to offer, please go to afa.net and browse to your heart's content. And until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.